Formosa is a small island. Get blessed with an array of natural wonder and splendor. From the north, ancient towns and Aboriginal villages lie alongside towering mountains, beautiful waterfalls, and elaborate temples. The central region displays the full range of Formosa's spectacular beauty: the shining sea, roaring rivers, and emerald forests. Known as the island's cultural center, southern Formosa still retains many of the traditions of the mainland immigrants when they first settled in this area. With tens of thousands of people practicing the Kuan Yin method, Formosa has gained international attention and respect for its economic independence and power. Diligent spiritual practice has brought their land abundant prosperity and development. Through the sincerity of the practitioners, Formosa enjoys the blessings and merits of a peaceful nation. In early 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai answered the sincere longing of her association members when she joined the festivities with honored guests and around 10,000 of our association members from around the world to celebrate the Lunar New Year of the Pig on February 18, 2007 in Formosa. On the same auspicious day, the Shining World Leadership Award Ceremony was held, and Supreme Master Ching Hai awarded the former President of the Philippines, Fidel Ramos, President of the Gusii Peace Prize Foundation, Manuel L. Morato, and Senator Harrison Alvarez for their compassionate work with the Aulac Seas refugees in the Philippines. Following these celebrations, an international retreat took place where Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members meditated and prayed for peace throughout the world. On February 22, 2007, the Supreme Master Ching Hai Day was celebrated with great fanfare and beautiful performances.
We now invite you to listen to a discussion between Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled "The Unsurpassed Benefit of Taking Refuge in the Buddha" in February 1996 in Xihu, Formosa.
Since you came here, to want to become Buddha, I tell you some of the Buddha story. First, I have heard, you know, it's always begin like that with Buddhist story. It means that the story he has heard from someone else and reproduced it for the later generation or the later audience. It doesn't mean that he has made up the story himself. Anand is supposed to be the best computer of the Buddha, you know. His story, all the story in the disk inside, and whenever people want, just push the button, it comes out. So he say that he has heard this story because he has been with the Buddha all the time. And so whatever he heard, he recorded. And then now he spoke it out again. spoke it out for the sake of other audience, yeah? So that means the story is true, the true story. Now, Ananda began the story like this. First, I have heard at one time the Enlightened One was residing in the city of Sravasti at the Chittavana Monastery in Anathapindikapak. Together with a great assembly of 1,250 monks. At that time, in that city, there was born to the wife of a householder a son who was so handsome and comely that one never tired of looking at him. I do have such a son like that. And who, through the power of former virtues and to the astonishment and delight of his parents, produced two golden coins. This time he clenched his fist together and opened them. When the parents took the coins, two more would appear. Whew. And soon the house was filled to overflowing with golden coins. The child was given the name of Golden Gem. So when the boy came of age, he begged his parents to allow him to become a monk, and attaining their consent, went to the Buddha, bowed his head at his feet, and requested ordination. When the Buddha consented, his hair and beard were shaven, and he donned the religious garb and became a monk. So later, when he was 20 years old, and the time had come for him to take the Arhat's vow and become fully ordained, he bowed with faith and devotion to the Sangha, according to rank, and wherever he placed his hands, gold coins would appear. After being fully ordained, he applied himself and through meditation became an Arhat, never come back again to this world. When people say, never come back to this world again, it doesn't mean that he disappeared into nowhere, but it means that he has been liberated forever from the illusionary world, the world of deceit and falsehood, the world of suffering and transmigration. Eh? Mm. Because there's only one world actually, one universe. But if we are not enlightened, we will be trapped in a such kind of illusionary dream that we can never get out. And in that dream, there are all kind of suffering and mischievous events which make people toil hard day and night and never can get out. And in the end, exhaust himself and tired his soul, and he never know where his origin is. So that is the meaning of going away from this world, because this world is supposed to be the world of illusion. That is why when you meditate deeply and you enter samadhi, you don't see anything exist in this world anymore. Not even your own body, not even the body of the one next to you in the meditation hall. Is that right? And then you just see a sea of light, and you merge yourself in the sea of love, and you feel nothing needed, nothing wanted, and nothing that's desired, nothing that you don't have, and you would love to stay in that state forever. That is when you get out of this world. It doesn't mean you go anywhere or do anything else. Ananda asked the Buddha at that time, "O Lord, this monk by the name of Golden Gem, or Golden Coin, what former good deeds did he do so that from the time of his birth until now, gold coins appear inexhaustibly in his hands? I request the Lord to explain the cause of this." So the Buddha said, "Listen well, Ananda, and bear it well in your mind.
I shall explain it to you." Ananda replied, "I beg the Lord to speak. I shall listen."
So now, the Buddha finally spoke. Thereupon, the enlightened one said, "In times long past, 61 aeons ago, when the Buddha Kashyapa had come into the world of illusion, he taught the divine law." Means the Buddhist teaching, the truth, the Dharma. Mm. "And the aid which he brought to living beings was beyond conception. While the Buddha and his Sangha were traveling through the various countries, a wealthy householder of the upper caste prepared different kinds of food. invited the Buddha, Kashyapa, and his disciples, and offered it to them. At that time, there was a poor man who made his living by bringing wood down from the mountains and selling it to those who need. And then that day, and up to that day, he has saved up to two coins. Seeing the Buddha and his disciples invited and going to the noble's palace, he had faith and rejoiced and offered his only two coins to the Buddha, I mean the only possession he has. In compassion, the Buddha said, "I accept the two coins." That's mean in compassion, you see that? Even the Buddha accepts something that is because of his compassion, not because he wants the golden coins. Why is it so? Huh? He didn't need it, right? Yes. In the old time, when the Buddha was alive, any Buddha, when they come into this world, many disciples would follow, right? And then among them would be the wealthy and the nobles. So the Buddhas or his disciples would never be lack of any material comfort. Thus the Buddha would have never needed the two coins of the poor man. But since the poor man is forever poor, if he doesn't offer something to a highly spiritual practitioners or the Buddha, he would never get out of the circle of his poverty. Because poverty comes originally from stinginess, from miserliness. And if one keep continue to be poor and one has nothing to offer, then one continue to stay in poverty. And since one is continuously stay in poverty, one has nothing to offer. And then again, come back to poverty. Thus, in the old time, people believe that if they offer something to the Buddhas or the Sangha, means his true disciples, then they will gain wealth and health and fame, in the next life to come. And this story would have proved it. So the Lord then said to Ananda, the Lord means Sakyamuni Buddha, Ananda, through the power of the virtue of that poor man's offering those two coins to the Buddha and his disciples, gold coins have appeared in his hands without interruption for 60 great aeons. One aeon is supposed to be many kalpas, many kalpas. Each kalpa is many, many thousand millions of years. So we don't bother to calculate this. This is a great length of time, saying that that person has enjoyed luck and wealth through many, 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 many incarnations of his existence. Now, and that man has had an abundance of property, jewels, and the necessities. Ananda, this monk, golden coins, was that poor man who lived at that time and under those circumstances. Soon, he will attain the highest fruit, and his future fruits will be inconceivable when they are mature. Thus it is, Ananda, that every living being should strive to perform the act of giving. Thereupon, Ananda and many of the assembly, hearing the Buddha's word, had faith and belief. Some became stream winners, some once returners, some never returners, some became arhats, and some brought forth a mind of supreme enlightenment. Some enter the realm of no return, and when the Lord has thus taught, are rejoiced greatly. Perhaps like the Jetavana Monastery, the deer park, at the deer park. I think that's the place where the Buddha first toss the Dharma to disciples. At that time, there is a great assembly of 1,250 monks were with the Buddha. That's a great number, huh? Don't you think so? In India, the monks, the renunciation tradition is very high, yeah? Very respected and well kept throughout generations. So even now, if you go to India, you will see a lot of monks and nuns everywhere, yeah? They would go to beg for alms in the daytime and then went back to their caves or on the Ganges river banks. Yeah, that's how they live, and sleep there, or meditate there, or not meditate there. Sometimes they just recite the mantras or recite the Buddha's name or the God's name, and then that's how they live their life. It's quite free, really. It's very free, free life. I think it would be very nice to have that kind of life too. Yeah, Taiwan people has a quite high standard of living. And they earn money easily, and every comfort comes to them if they have money. And they import everything to Taiwan, including German bread and French cheese, you know, everything. And very difficult for the people to renounce, I think. More difficult today than in the old time. Because in the old time, even though if you have money, your house are not supposed to be as good as this. At the house today, huh? No air condition, huh? No central heating, huh? No heater, and no radio, no television, nothing like that. So if you just renounce, and the road outside are dusty. Even if you have money to buy a horse carriage, the road is very dusty, and all this kind of horse left over, you know, they dry up and they fly into the air, and wherever you go, it's just dust and dirt, and there's nothing really so attractive about the olden time that we heard so much about. Except if you live in a castle and you never come out. That is why Buddha had a shock of his life when he opened, or when he sneakily went out of his palace and discovered the whole truth, nothing but truth, outside the palace gate. And that's how it shocked him into renunciation. Nah? He was a prince. He never was allowed or never has the need to go outside to go shopping or to see the life of the ordinary people outside his palace. So once he went out, he saw everything. Poverty, death, sickness, filthiness, everything. The life in truth wasn't as good as the life in the palace. He has summer palace, winter palace, autumn palace, spring palace, accordingly, so that he can enjoy. Because in the old time, I don't think they have air conditioner. So summer palace is a different place. Perhaps it's in the mountain where there is some cool air, you know, supposed to snow in winter. And in summer it's very cool. That's why his father built four different palaces for him, so that he never have to experience suffering and want. So he never will renounce the world, because one of the astrologers predicted that he will renounce the kingdom and become a monk and became an enlightened Buddha. So the father was very afraid that the son would go away and became a Buddha, and he has no hair to succeed the throne. Every parents love their children. Doesn't matter if the beggar's parents or middle-class parents, never mind the king who has only one son. Yeah. So we can understand very well the love of the father. Now, even all that love and luxury doesn't have enough power to bind him in this mundane existence, because he was destined to become a Buddha. Or perhaps he was already a Buddha and he took pity upon us, the mortals, the suffering beings in the illusionary world, so he took birth again in this suffering sea of existence in order to deliver us our ignorance. At least, even though after the Buddha has gone, maybe the enlightened lineage has died down with all the great disciples, but still at least the teaching it still remained, yeah? Like the non-violence, yeah? The vegetarian diet, and the respect for the truth, and the quest for enlightenment still are very much instilled inside the pages of all the teaching of the Buddha. So at least, reading all this, one would be inspired to go alone or elsewhere to search for further knowledge of enlightenment. So the Buddha has done, of course, a great job, that there's no words we can praise him enough. That is about the Buddha. And now, about the monks. It's very difficult to become a monk today. It was difficult at that time as well. But difficult doesn't mean impossible. If we want to do something, we can. There are so many examples of great monks throughout the history that if we keep reading them, we probably feel inspired and we feel encouraged, and we have the confidence to dedicate our life to the teaching of a living Buddha. It is also of use if you became a monk without having a teacher also. At least you have the highest ideal to serve mankind through whatever you know. But of course it would be best if you have a living Buddha to teach you and you become a monk under him in order to spread the noble teaching and deliver all sentient beings to the original bliss in Nirvana. Sometimes, without having a teacher, and you have a very, very firm faith, very, very determination to follow the old teaching of the deceased master, you will probably also attain some fruit. It's very difficult and very rare, but you might do that if you're really sincere. Perhaps it's not the highest order, but still you have something to reward you. Nevertheless, I must inform you again what I know, that Guan Yin method, the art of listening, everyone must learn. If we don't learn this art of listening, we suffer all the time, and we will suffer all the time to come. Doesn't matter if we will be reborn in heaven after we die or not, we still have to come back and suffer again. Throughout the stories of Buddhist literature, you will see that many gods so high like Indra or other gods in heaven, they cry, they suffer a lot when their merit has run out and they have to be reborn again, sometimes as worms, sometimes as animals. It's not as much as a human life. And sometimes they have to go down from heaven, come to the earth in order to bow to a living Buddha, if it happens to have one at that time, to seek refuge in the Buddha. Otherwise, they will be reborn in a terribly low existence and suffer a great deal for many, 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 many thousands of lifetimes to come. That is why most of the masters do not emphasize that people use charity as a mean of delivering ourselves. Charity is very good, especially when you offer things to the Buddha, like this man. He offered 2 coins, but for 61 aeons, numerous kalpas, he always have golden coins in his hands. That means he never has to suffer from poverty and want or any uncomfortable living existence for such a long period of time. And then, after such a long time, he finally attained arhatship. But that's a long time. It would have been better if at that moment he doesn't offer the coins only, but he offer himself, offer his soul to the Buddha. Yeah? You see? But he has not seen the better example. He only seen that other people offering food to Buddha. So he repeated, he imitate that act of kindness only is a pity. That is why to give in charity is not as good as to give the true teaching to the people, to spread the teaching to the people. That's why since ancient time, people keep praising monkhood, because if they follow a living Buddha, they can learn very well, and then they continue to go out and spread the teaching and deliver other people. It is much better than they give any golden coins in a mountain of number to the people, because that will only satisfy their material craving for a very short period of time, but cannot deliver them forever to the Buddha's land or the kingdom of God.
Thanks for joining us today on Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of The Unsurpassed Benefit of Taking Refuge in the Buddha. Up next, Essential Oils, a Gift from Nature, on Healthy Living right after Noteworthy News. So please keep that dial here on Supreme Master Television.